Welcome to the Humanergy Leadership Podcast. My name is David Wheatley. We're here to talk leadership in small, bite-sized, and practical chunks. Enjoy. During 2024, one episode a month of the Humanergy Podcast will be dedicated to family businesses and trying to draw some best practice out from some of the family business connections we've developed in the last 24 years. This episode is one of those episodes, and it's with Joe Sicola and Joey Sicola of Imperial Beverage, a wines and spirits beer distributor based in Kalamazoo, Michigan. They'll explain more about what they do and who they are. Here they are. So Joe, Joey, welcome to the Humanergy Leadership Podcast. And I wonder if one of you would mind starting with a little bit about your family business.
Sure. Thanks, David. Yeah. So I'll give you a little background. I've grown up in the family business. My long story is we've been in Kalamazoo for 100 years. My great-grandma and grandpa started a pizza place, and then my dad took over the pizza place. And I worked a little bit in the pizza place when I was a kid. And then my dad had 13 bars and restaurants, and me working there until about 21 in the bar and restaurant world. I'm one of six siblings, and our growing up in the family business is we didn't have a choice. We were in the family business. So my dad told me where we're going and what we're doing and how we're working. So we bought a distributor in 84, and I started with my dad in 84 at the distributor. And then at one time, I was the only family member in Imperial because we had a bunch of different businesses. And then when my dad passed away in 94, I took over running the business in 94. And since that time, we have a lot of family now in the business.
So one of them has joined us here today, but just give us a sense as to when you say a lot of family, without having to necessarily name names, tell me the dynamics of that.
Sure, absolutely. So my brother, Larry, who is 9 years younger than I am, joined just shortly after my dad passed away. So he's been with us 28 years now, I think it is. Got a few cousins involved. My son, Joey, joined us 9 years ago. Yep. And then my daughter, Ashley, joined us 5 years ago. So those are the direct. Oh, and then my daughter-in-law, that's even more interesting. We hired her 12 years ago to run our HR, and then she started dating my son Joey, and now they're married, so she runs our HR department. So that's an even extra layer of complexity on top of our family business.
So and that's just within your company, and then I believe your sister has a similar company out west someplace that
she does. So she has a same thing. She started 21 years ago, a distributor just like we do in Michigan, and named it after us, and has run a successful business for the last 21 years there. They're totally separate because of legalities with the liquor licenses, but we use a lot of the same software and stuff. And I was just out there actually earlier this week to share best practices between the two companies. So,
they're not connected, but slightly related.
They're slightly related, yeah. So the first couple of years, she relied on me for expertise, and the last 19, I relied on her for expertise. So it's good. We share a lot of best practices between the two of them, and it's been good to kind of collaborate things that are working, not working between. And she's a great consultant for me, and hopefully I help her out occasionally too.
Right. And so, Joe, you're the CEO.
Yes.
And Joey, what's your title at the moment?
Chief Revenue Officer.
Revenue Officer. Okay. And then you've got a sister in the business and a partner, a wife in the business. And yep. And then you said there's Joe, your brother, Larry's worked for you for a long time. How's that, the situation between ownership and family kick in? Is there multiple generations of ownership?
So on ownership, my dad was the only stockholder. And when I took over fortunate enough that it was my dad's trust, but my uncle, who's a trustee, let me purchase it from the trust. So that was a transition. I paid for it over time. So for 28 years, I was the only stockholder. But I treated Larry as my brother and a partner, even though he didn't have any stock, but we kind of call each other partners. And now we're looking at transitioning into the next generation. So Joey, Ashley, and Brittany, my three kids, are stockholders now. And that's been in the last couple of years. So, and we're starting to work on that transition to make that successful. Two of the three are in the business. So it's a little, there's dynamics because ownership and leadership. So,
yeah, well, that's always where I'm fascinated with family businesses, especially when there's something like you've just identified that two are in the business and one of them's not. And how's that dynamic managed?
Well, I don't know. It's pretty early, Joy.
Yeah, I think it can be interesting. So a lot of our family conversations end up being around the business, right? So the one that's not involved sometimes gets a little frustrated with it. We're talking about work all the time, but that is our world, right? But she's definitely good at having an outside perspective too. So she challenges us, makes us think differently. We're so involved in the day-to-day of the operation that she can make us kind of take a step back and realize what's going on, and we can move forward as a company too. So there's pros and cons to it, but I think the hardest thing is trying to find a way to separate the work and the family life when you're outside of the business.
Which is a great segue, because I've often said if I ever get around to writing a book on some of the family business best practices I hear, it'll be titled How to Work in a Family Business and Still Go to Thanksgiving. So given that there's so many family dynamics in the business, how do you make that separation, or do you?
I don't know if either one of us are good at that. We try.
Well, we tried at times to, you know, try to have dinner without, or we actually do. The nice thing is we've been doing vacations together every year, at least a couple weeks, which is great. And I would say it's 90% vacation and family time and, you know, great time. And then there's occasionally talk about business, and then we like, okay, let's pull ourselves out of it a little bit. But it seems like it's naturally flows, as long as it's, you know, the right time and stuff like that. You can kind of tell by, like, when somebody's like, okay, I'm done talking about business, we're good, we'll just move on. But it is I don't know if we ever completely separated.
And it makes for even more interesting dynamic when you understand that, I think, Joey, your sister works for you, and you work for your dad. And then there's your wife who reports to your dad and is a peer. How do you manage those dynamics? You know, because you've got the working relationships and the reporting relationships at work as well.
I think the key with it is just mutual respect for each other. When there's mutual respect between us, I think that it works pretty well. When there's a lack of respect or lack of trust or understanding between each other is when we struggle. So even my sister working for me, I think we were both super nervous about it. It's been about a year and a half now, and it's probably been night and day difference from what we both expected. She was nervous to work for me, and she's like, you're a way better manager than I expected. I'm like, you're a way better employee and leader than I expected. And it's just, we both were like complimenting each other on what we've done. And I think that we're both learning from each other too. And I think we're a better team and organization because of it. So that's been really good. And I think the wife side of it's a little different. It's probably really hard for us to separate out that work side of it, because she's in HR, so she's always telling me about something's happening in my department that I'm not hearing about, and then it's just different conversations. But she also challenges me too, so I think we all are better because of our relationship and the mutual respect we have.
And at home, do you put lines up that says, hey, I just can't talk to you about that right now?
We do, and it's not a consistent line. We both get to the point where, like, we can't talk about work anymore, and we both just tell each other that, and we honor that. But there's not a consistent line. Like, when we get home, we don't talk about work.
I imagine sometimes there's a line because, hey, I just can't talk to you about that right now. Because of the work you're doing. So,
yeah.
But then, so that surprise when you were working with your sister, what were the things that you did to make that successful?
I think that I was just very transparent with her, and I try to get her to be involved in more than she typically would be. So, even just asking for her opinion on things, I think, goes a long way. It doesn't involve her department, doesn't involve what she's doing, but she knows that I care about what her opinion is, and I value her opinion on stuff. And then I've challenged her a little bit on just the way that she thinks too. We both think very differently. Growing up, we were different, and even today we're different, and it's a good thing for both of us. And so we just, I asked her to use me for a resource, and I'm going to use her for a resource, and we work together on it. So,
and just out of interest, because it's fascinating when you get into family business, what's the birth order?
I'm oldest, and then Brittany, that's not involved, is the second, and then Ash is the youngest.
Okay, so that's, I always find that's interesting to see where that dynamic plays out and how it plays out. And Joe, I'm guessing you were the oldest of the
nope,
six.
I was actually number three of six.
Okay.
So that's why I'm the peacekeeper. No, I'm actually not. my brother Larry, who's number six, is with us. It was actually the peacekeeper in the family. So he actually is the one that kind of, and my sister Terry, the two youngest ones, are actually the good peacekeepers. So no, my brother Nick, who's the oldest, was Down syndrome, so lived with my mom and dad for 62 years, just passed away a little while ago. My brother Bill was in the business a little bit, didn't like it. He got out and owns a couple of restaurants in town. He loves the restaurant business, and that's great because I did enough of the restaurant business. I like this business better. And then my sister Polly owns two retail stores, and then Terry owns Colorado. So we're all entrepreneurial family, but I'm number three. So
right, and so the same with you and Larry. You know, Larry joined the business shortly after you took it over. And were there any best practices that you established that said, hey, you know, because that dynamic again is I'm the owner and you're an employee, but we're siblings.
Yeah. So it was interesting because Larry, when he started like I did, and he was a warehouse employee, and then he was a truck driver, and then he went into sales and sales management. So it took about, for him to directly report to me, almost about 8 years, I think it was, through different positions. So I think during that time, we grew a little bit more respect for each other and understood that a little bit more. And then when he did run the sales division, it was good. I think that the thing for Larry is he's definitely the peacekeeper. If there's a good cop, bad cop, I'm really good at bad cop, and Larry's really good at good cop. And we tried to switch roles one time, it doesn't work. So anyway, I just say it direct, very direct, and Larry can absorb that and be okay with it. And then he knows how to sell it to me properly. So he's definitely the peacekeeper in the world. And he knows that's his role. And he does really well with that. So I think the dynamics with me and Larry worked out pretty well because of that. So it was good there. There was, you know, I think with Larry, one of the things that were, I'd say, you know, why it worked was because of his role with the sales side of it and his just drive for great customer service. And my role for detail oriented, let's be sure everything's done right, T's crossed, dotted I's. So between the two dynamics, it worked pretty well because we had our own strengths there.
Right. So you're able to complement each other.
Yes.
Yeah. So then could you alluded to something else. Is it an expectation that if you're a family member joining the business, you kind of start at the bottom and you do a bit of everything?
Yeah. So two things we've done is number one is today we don't force anybody in the business. Right. So like my dad, I was like, I was just told where to go. Right. So what we've done this next generation, and Joey and Ashley both have done it, is after they graduated from college, they did something else for 5 years, right? For two reasons. One is so they can get great experience outside. So if they do join the family business, they can bring outside influences, because I've only worked for one employer my whole life. So they can bring other outside influences in. And the second thing is they got to start whatever position they apply for and interviewed and get awarded. So it's not automatic. So they have to start with whatever's available. And so I think that's the key dynamic of being sure that they earn their keep and they earn the respect of everyone else. So so those are the two things we've changed in the last, you know, 40 years. And I think that's done well for us.
So there's an expectation that you would get hired for this job somewhere else. You're not just getting hired for this job because of your last name.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And we're a tough interview company. So we screen our people really well. People are like, wow, that's the toughest interviews I've ever went through. But we do it for a reason. It's everyone that comes in the Imperial Beverage family, you know, they got to belong and they got to feel, they got to be part of the team. And if they don't, we just won't bring them in.
So maybe this question's for you, Joey, but do you feel like you're a tough interviewing organization? Is it tougher if you're a family member?
Yeah, for sure. I think I went through an extra panel interview for a couple of my jobs, and I think there's a higher expectation too on your family, right? So I think that the saying I was told when I started was you're going to do twice as much work for half the amount of praise. And that is, I mean, that is 100% true. And any family member, I think my wife realized that after we got married, she had the same thing. She's like, why am I considered that? I'm like, your last name is Sokola now. So she realized the same thing, but it is definitely, you have to do twice as much work for half the amount of praise when you're family. So when you do get a promotion, it's definitely when you earned it because you have had, you did the extra work along the way.
And so if I wind back a bit to Joe, when you took over, and it's always unfortunate that you take over because of a tragic event like that, is what do you wish your dad would have done differently to set you up better?
Yeah, I think the one great thing he did is he believed in me and gave me a lot of freedom to operate and do things. I made a lot of mistakes along the way, and so I think that was one of the things that when I took over, I probably made a lot of mistakes already. So he was a very visionary, big picture thing. Not a lot of T's crossed, dotted I's, but that was me, right? So I was like being sure. So I think done differently. What I learned differently. I think maybe that how the what he did is he was great on culture, big relationships, that whole thing, and I was kind of running the business, right? So maybe a little bit more of the bring me along, give me more culture, be sure I understand these relationships, understand the whole big world. That'd be about the only thing. Everything else he was very forward thinking of developing his people and developing his manager and letting me make some
Right.
a lot of mistakes. How's that?
So I imagine it was the freedom to make mistakes as long as you learn from them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So then what have you learned from that that you are making sure is in place for future generations? I see Joey smiling there.
Yeah,
He's
no, I have.
looking.
The craziest thing is me and my dad were so far different in personalities, right? And we actually shared an office. Our two desks were literally 6 feet apart. So there were some great things. So I kind of not just I mentored him along the way and watched him and seeing what he does. But so I think that was great. And because of him being that way and me being detail oriented, I kept continuing down that path. And at times I needed to be more, direct of what I need to do. But over time, I need to develop manager that can't do it all myself. So I'm not perfect yet. I'm getting better and better. David, I'm getting coached better that of letting people make mistakes, giving freedom, and I'm working on it. So yeah, it was a struggle for me to let go of the vine a little bit, but I'm working on it. And I'm gonna get better because I gotta retire someday. So
Well, that's always one of the patterns of the interviews that I've done around family business has been I got this business, I got this job when dad got sick or died. And so one of the things that's coming out for me is what are you doing to prepare for an exit so that it's not a matter. Now, I'm not saying you if you want to drop dead in the job at some point in the distant future, but what are you putting in place to make sure that that transition goes smoother for everybody?
No, I think there's a couple of things we've done well. We've done got a kind of a big strategic roadmap, kind of like, what is where do we need to go? Where are we at? And for 1 year, 3 year, 10 year down the road, to be sure we have a good vision of where we want to go. And then some steps of how to get there. And then so I think we've got like alignment between the team of what we need to accomplish. And everyone kind of is getting more and more comfortable, like this, hey, I got this, I'm gonna own it, but I need to work and collaborate with everyone. So that team approach of collaboration for common goals is better today than it's been the last few years. So trying to set that up for the future to be sure that we're all on the same page. And it's not, the future isn't a Joe future, it's the team future. So, and I think we've done a better job with collaborating with over 50 people at our company to kind of come up with our future there.
And given that over 50 people, is there an heir apparent, or is this not something you want to talk about with present company, Joe?
No, it's fine. So yeah, so there's a, you know, there's a, on family dynamics, it's interesting. With not, four stockholders, myself and the three kids, right? Is we'll continue down the path. I'm happen to be running it. There's been times that I look at, should I be running it? Should I hire somebody to run it? And I can still be CEO and have a president. So actually, for about 4 or 5 years, we did actually have somebody came in and ran it. They were the president of the company. Jim Elias did a great job. Did it really helped us to the next level. And then he retired. And then I took back over as the president, and I haven't hired anybody to replace me. So still doing, still whatever you want to call it, CEO, chairman of the board, but also running the business day to day. So and I kind of enjoy it actually too. So it's kind of fun.
So you're not going anywhere anytime soon is what you're saying.
Yeah. But there's gonna be a time that I'm like, okay, let's see if somebody else can do this and do a better job of me. So then, yeah, so that'll be the transition. You know, it could be family members. It could be not family members. It's like whoever, you know, whoever's going to run the business the best is we should look at. And I know a lot of families, as they've transitioned to second and third generation, sometimes have hired professional managers to run it, and they're still involved. They're still on the board and are involved in different positions, different parts of the business, but they don't have to be present. So I got two of the kids involved. I'd love to see if they want to run it someday, or it could be somebody else who does. I think we're a big enough organization. We could, we got 340 employees. We could be sure we have the best person to run it.
Right. So then I just want to go back to something you said earlier, that you and the kids, the families, all take 2 weeks off, which there's going to be some people who say, well, hang on a minute. If you're this embedded family business with so many of you involved, do you shut the company down for 2 weeks? How do you build that so that you can comfortably leave for 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, I always joked about it. Every time we go on vacation for 2 weeks, the business runs much better, sales improve, and profitability improves. So I'm not sure what that tells us, but but it is
too many I's being dotted and T's being crossed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I think more and more people are empowered to do what they need to do. And they do a good job of it. I can feel comfortable going away for 2 weeks and know things are good. I went two summers ago, went away for a whole month, and things went really well. So I think, you know, you got a good team in place. They can take care of things. And so I feel very comfortable with that. So
Joey, you're part of that as well. So, you know, you're going on vacation with your boss and one of your direct reports, and your HR manager at the same time. Do you see things that you put in place to allow that to happen and for you to actually relax?
Yeah, I think, the key is making sure everyone's set up for success before you leave, right? So that can be over time, over the years, you know, growing and developing your leaders, or it can be setting up for, you know, 2 weeks before you leave, just making sure everything is set up so there's nothing that's going to come up with it, or they don't know what to do with it, right? And I typically will have somebody that's my lead person that I trust, and I believe that they can make the right decisions. They make the right decisions for our organization long term. And it actually has worked out pretty well. It gives me a little bit more responsibility than they had when I'm there with them. And it kind of challenges them to be a bigger leader in our organization as well.
Cool. And so then my last question, and you can answer this to the level you feel comfortable. What was a challenging family dynamic situation within the business that was the hardest to deal with, and how did you deal with it?
I go, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, I can go. I think the hardest thing is, right, I guess probably been in the last year and a half. So I switched from, I was in charge of our operations team, and I switched back over to the sales side. So my whole history is sales. I've been in sales and sales management for most of my professional career. And when I went back to sales, the dynamic between Joe and I changed a lot. And it was a lot about, like, he's a lot more involved in sales than he was operations. So I'm learning sales, but I'm also one of those people that likes to be independent. I like to be able to make mistakes and learn from my mistakes. And Joe was, I think, that parent figure. He was trying to protect me from making those mistakes, right? I think it's just an instinct as a parent not to let your kids put their hand in the oven, right? Like, it's hot, don't do that. And they're never going to learn until they do it. And I think that that's been the struggle. It was probably for the first year I was in the seat. And we've slowly gotten a lot better, just communicating better, building a better relationship as I'm working through, like, here's what I'm thinking. What mistake are you going to see? What do you think I'm going to do? And we can talk through it in advance. And it was my proactive communication that I need to work better on to just build that trust with them in a new role and not have that such a parent son kind of situation going on. And that was probably the hardest thing. And then that dynamic, right, for a father son, a boss and an employee, happens in front of another team, right? So you have the whole executive team that watches this, right? So it's not, him and I know each other very well, right? And when we know each other well, we treat each other like we've known each other my whole life, right? That's how we talk to each other. So we're passionate, our voices raised, we're not upset at each other. That's who we are. And sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. And it's, we gotta be conscious of how we act in front of other people until they really know us and they understand how we interact. So it's nothing ever bad, it's just how we act.
Well, I really like the way you've laid that out, because you're suggesting, hey, we have to be a little bit more measured at work because of this dynamic than we might be around the Thanksgiving table, because nobody's job is impacted by it.
Right.
Whereas if the two of us are arguing at work, then people start to wonder about the sustainability of the organization.
Exactly.
Anything you'd add to that, Joe?
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think sometimes if you got five people on a team and you get feedback from all five to figure out best decisions and try to get some collaboration there, and is the dynamic, right? If me and Joey are dominating that, everyone else shuts down, and then we don't hear everyone's opinion. So we got to be careful not to dominate the conversation, and to be sure we're getting everyone's opinion and being sure we're making the best decision going forward. So I think that's a dynamic that I knew me and Joey could work out the differences, but I didn't understand that whole the other dynamic, and that we're working through that a little bit. And I think the other thing is, for us is occasionally, Joey be driving down the road and call me. Hey, I got a couple things bounce off you. Bink, bink, right? No problem, right? So it doesn't have to always be a formal meeting with agendas and stuff like that. Sometimes things happen throughout the day or throughout the week, and this to stay in contact and to stay in touch of what's going on is good for both of us. So we're not like, what happened? I missed this whole thing, right? So that's been the proactive communication, as Joey mentioned earlier, has been really good for us.
Which you'd kind of expect from an employee anyway, wouldn't you? That proactive communication. And it sounds like, Joey, that what got in the way was when you flipped back to that parent-child relationship rather than being work colleague relationship.
Yep.
So let me end on a lighter note then. I understand that Joe, your dad, was Joe too.
Correct.
And at the point that you were in the business together, you were Joey.
I was Joey. Yep.
So
my dad was Big Joe always, and I was Little Joe or Little Joey or Little Joey Jr. for a long time.
So I want to know at what point you get promoted sufficiently that you become Joe rather than Joey.
Some people still call me Joey. So 30 years ago, as my dad passed away, anybody that's known me longer than 30 years still calls me Joey. You'll get occasionally that. So I don't know if I'll ever lose a Joey completely. But the best story was Joey was about 12, 13 years old. And he's like, hey, Dad, do you, I'm kind of growing up. And do you mind calling me Joe? I'm like, I get it. 100%. I understand where you're going from. I'll call you Joe. So I called him Joe for about a year and a half. And all of a sudden, everything's going back to Joey. His friends call him Joey. His cell phone is messages Joey. He goes by Joey. I'm like, hey, Joe, I don't understand. You want to be Joe or Joey? And he goes, hey, Dad, chicks dig Joey. So anyway, you can see he is Joey. And I don't know if you'll ever change it, but that's up to you, Joey. You tell me.
No, I'll stay Joey. I'm good.
That's cool. Well, Joe and Joey, appreciate you spending the time this afternoon sharing some of your experience and thoughts. And thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
That was the Humanergy Leadership Podcast. My name's David Wheatley. For further information about Humanergy, go to humanergy.com or check out our latest book, What Great Teams Do Great, from all good bookstores. Have a good one. Stay healthy.